You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. A nice Thursday morning. Thank you for joining us here. We really appreciate the support, don't we, Tim?
We sure do. We sure do.
We sure do. But yeah, let's get into it. Tim, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really am. Just having a great day. Anytime you're not 6 feet under, Tim, it's a good day for me. But you know who it was a good day for? Spencer Knight. Had him on the show last week. Nice kid. Very smart. Very just thought out responses. It was a good interview. He was in Charlotte with you. Literally the next day, the kid gets called up to the NHL, and now he's back with the Florida Panthers. Played the other night, 1-6-1. How fast that happened. He just said, you know, we grace him with our presence, and he just goes, and now he's in the NHL. Now he'll never talk to us again. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yeah, I never had dinner with him, but maybe next time he gets sent back down. Do you think he ever plays another AHL game?
Yes, I do. I do. They have a lot of goaltenders in Florida right now. For whatever reason, they just like hoarding goaltenders. I don't know. They have a lot in the AHL. They have a lot in the NHL. They have a weird kind of goaltender stockpile in Florida right now. But I do think he'll go down. Once it's so tricky because you want to get a kid like that time between the pipes, right? And then you got Bobrovsky, who is just an absolute stud this year. Well, I don't want to say a stud, but he's playing a really good season. And it's like, well, what do? You let this kid back up and play once every five games, or do you send him down to the AHL where you can get seasoning, where you can get more consistent playing time? It's such a tricky balance when you don't want to stunt someone's growth, but you also want to have them around these great players in the NHL. You want him taking shots in practice from Barkov and Huberdeau and Duclair and Marchman, all these guys you have on your team, rather than being sent down and just not getting challenged. But I think he does get sent down. They have this Jonas Johansson. They seem to like him. They picked him up off waivers. They got Bobrovsky. So I wouldn't surprise me if he's already been sent down, you know, after this podcast. So it's a luxury the Florida Panthers have right now. They can call a guy up like Spencer Knight at the drop of a hat, and he can come in and win a game. Like, he's a really good goaltender. So I don't know. What would you do if you were a GM and you had a first round pick of a goaltender? How do you develop this guy when you have another a goalie under contract for how many more years is Bobrovsky under contract for? Let's see. He is under contract for another four more years at $10 million. How do you work this situation? It's such a funny, they put themselves in this situation. How do you work a situation like this? What would you do if you're the GM of the Florida Panthers?
I'd probably look to move out of the Bobrovsky contract like in a year or two, hopefully in a year if Spencer Knight is ready, but like they can't do it yet because I don't think Spencer Knight's ready to take the workload, and they'd love to have him get there in a year or so and then get Bobrovsky moved. I don't think he'll really be a movable contract unless they eat a bunch of money, but I like what they're doing with Spencer Knight right now. It's like you said, he doesn't do himself any good if he plays every third or fourth or fifth game up in the NHL. It's better to get the seasoning, get the minutes logged, and then get called up every so often to get that NHL experience, get the exposure to those NHL players, NHL shots, all that, and then get back down to the AHL, work on a few things, and keep doing that until you kind of the progressive responsibility and progressive increased minutes and increased starts and all that. So I think they're doing a good job with it.
I agree. I think they made the right decision. I think that's why they picked up that Jonas Johansson off of waivers, just because you're doing Spencer Knight a disservice by just having him sitting there watching Bobrovsky. Yes, there's a time frame where that's good for him to develop, watch an all-star caliber goaltender in Bobrovsky. Like he said in our interview, this is a guy he grew up idolizing. Like he watched him play as he was a kid. So that was good. That time has passed. Now you send him down. You let him get stronger. You let him get faster. You let him get accustomed to the game, which he already is. But you just give him some time in the net. And you just wait your time, bide your time, and hopefully you can make a deal for a Bobrovsky. But I don't know of any teams that are chomping at the bit to acquire a goaltender who makes $10 million and who is on the wrong side of 30. So as a goaltender, your best years are, you know, 25, 26, 27, 28. Bobrovsky's 33. And he's got four more years left at $10 million. So I don't know how a team's going to be like, you know what? This is a smart move. We're going to take him on. He's going to be 37 and he's going to be a great goaltender. And we're going to pay him $10 million. Maybe the Arizona Coyotes. That'd be a good trade partner for them. That's where all bad contracts go to die. That is like the abyss of bad contracts. So I don't know. Good for Spencer Knight. I actually think he's already been sent down to Florida or to Charlotte. So you could maybe do that dinner this weekend. We'll see, because he's not on Florida's roster right now. Shoot him a text, Tim. You never know. You have a budding friendship.
You never know. And Bobrovsky, 33. I used to think that was so old, and now I'm 31. So it's like, even when you said it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty old. Wait a minute. That's 2 years older than me.
Hold on a second. I was having a conversation with someone at work here today. We were talking about the Capitals Oilers game and how the announcers are just licking their chops at Ovechkin. And there's some, so I just told him, like, he's 37. And the guy's like, wait, how old are you? I'm like, I'm almost 40. He's like, holy moly, you're old. I'm like, I know. It's crazy. I'm going to be 40, Tim. It's wild stuff. Still feel like I'm 36, though. Oh. All right. We got a big homecoming coming up tonight. It's a big one. There was a lot. There was a whole soap opera behind this trade. Jack Eichel going to Las Vegas, the Golden Knights. It was a year-long drama where Jack wants a surgery. The team wants him to have a certain surgery. There was a back and a forth. There was a back and a forth. There was a summer drama. Jack asks for a trade. His agent comes out, makes all these comments. Kevin Adams playing hardball, this and that. It was a whole thing. You guys know it. I know it. We chronicled it pretty closely. Well, it's all coming full circle now. The prodigal son is returning to Buffalo. How is he going to be received? Since joining the Vegas Golden Knights, he's playing okay. You know, he's got a few goals. He's got a few assists. He's played 10 games. The Knights aren't doing that well. They're 4-5-1 with Jack Eichel in the lineup. I want to talk about them either later on in the show or in another episode, because I really believe the Vegas Golden Knights are in trouble. I truly believe this. Going into the season, I thought they were going to have the most wins in NHL history. Fast forward to right now, they might not make the playoffs. They're struggling, and they need to find their game fast, because lo and behold, the Pacific Division is a complete train wreck, and who knows who's going to go on to win. Well, we talked about that before. But anyways, Jack Eichel is back. Have you seen his interviews? He did a big press conference yesterday after his pregame skate in Buffalo. He is back in Buffalo. He is just praising all things Buffalo now. He says, I love the organization. I love the owners. I have no ill will. Everything is all good. I never had a problem with this and that. I love everything about Buffalo, the beef on Weck. I love going to Duff's and getting some wings. Do you believe everything that he's selling right now? What did you think of that news conference? What do you think of the homecoming? I have my opinion. You know, I consider myself somewhat of a Buffalo guy. I grew up right next door in St. Catharines. I would go to Buffalo all the time as a kid. I am forever linked with Buffalo just because I'm a Bills fan through and through. Love myself some Bills, and I played for the Sabres. So I have a strong connection with the Buffalo area. I want to get your opinion. You're a Boston guy. What's your opinion right now? How is he going to be received? Do you believe with what Eichel's selling right now in his press conference yesterday?
I don't believe what he's selling, at least not everything that he's selling. Like, I think he probably likes the city, loves the fans. You know, I think he's got some good experiences there, and certainly that's an important part of his life. But I don't think he's looking back like, oh, I'm the ownership. Like, I love those guys. They were so good to me and nothing bad to say. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we all saw what happened. Like, don't sell that. As far as how he'll be received, I think he does not get booed. I mean, maybe a couple people, but like, I think positive reception from fans. I was going back and forth with this, but ultimately I think Buffalo fans saw the same thing that the rest of us did, was that it was the ownership group and the management that screwed up the situation, made it what it was. I don't think it was Eichel. I don't think anyone's really upset with him. So I think he gets a positive reception, but that's just from the outside looking in. Like, you know more than I do. What do you think? How does this go down?
I think he gets relentlessly booed. That's what I think. I think his interview that he did with ESPN post trade really solidified his stance, I think, with the Buffalo fans, when he just tore the Sabres up and down. Like, he ripped them. He ripped the GM. He ripped the team, saying they mishandled the thing. He didn't have a good time in Buffalo. He really just went after the team. And you contrast that with his press conference yesterday. It's two completely different stances. It's like you already made your bed. You had this big ESPN interview. You went all glitz and glamour. You got the showtime of ESPN interviews. And now you're just backtracking and you're saying, no, you know what? We had maybe a few differences based on our medical opinions, what I should have done. But, you know, I respect their stance. No. That's not what you said. That's not what your agent said. I think the majority of fans will boo him who know the whole situation. There will be smatterings of applause. Do you think he gets a video tribute? This is the tricky one. They give out video tributes now like it's going out of style. You play a half a season with the team and you get traded or you get waived, you get a video tribute these days. He was there for the better part of his decade, right? He was the captain. He was the guy who was supposed to turn this franchise around. He didn't do it. Do they give him a video tribute when he steps on the ice today after the first TV timeout?
I'm going to say no. That said, like you said, they drop these things like, oh, you had a cup of coffee here? Like, here's a round of applause. Actually, last week, Bruins were traveling in Vegas, and it wasn't a video tribute, but Thomas Nosek got, like, a wave to the crowd, and everyone cheered him for a minute or during a break or during warmups or something. Thomas Nosek, who started, he was part of the expansion draft in Vegas. So it's like, if he's getting a moment in the sun, Jack Eichel will probably have a little victory parade through downtown Buffalo. So who knows?
It's just bizarre. Oh my gosh. I think he does get a video tribute. I think the people who work for Buffalo, people like doing those things. There's nothing really to cheer about in Buffalo these days. And so they'll throw something together. They say, thank you, Jack. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time here. And thank you for, you know, forcing yourself out when you still had 5 years and $50 million left on your contract. Thank you. Thank you for that. We really appreciate that. Is this a big homecoming? When you rank the big homecomings, when you got the Jerome McGinleys, you got the John Tavares, you got the even a Kadri coming back to Toronto, where does this rank? Is this a blip on the radar? You know, because this guy was a second overall pick. He was the face of a franchise. They traded him in his prime. Like, it was a very contentious trade, but this guy is a legit superstar if he gets back to where he was prior to his injury.
It's a big homecoming from, like, the reality TV sense for the drama of it and, like, all these stories and narratives and whatever. It's not a huge homecoming to me. I just not in terms of the traditional thing. Yeah, I don't know. So, no. What are some other comparisons, like some big homecomings that we can compare it to?
Well, I would say John Tavares when he went back to the Islanders. You know, that was very contentious. That was, you know, people didn't really like him leaving. I kind of liken it to that. Maybe Nazem Kadri. Eichel was the captain, though. That's a tricky thing. So it's very rare when you see a captain get traded going back in his prime. It was just – it's a very strange situation. I don't know. What I honestly don't care either. I really don't. I'm glad this situation is behind us. I hope Jack continues to progress. He hasn't shown the same type of, you know, playmaking ability that he had before the injury. He's been getting all the chances in the world. He's on the first line. He's getting first power play minutes. He's a point per game, maybe a little less than point per game. That's okay. Maybe he's still got some rust he needs to shake off, but I don't know. Right now, who wins this trade? It's got to be Vegas, right? For now.
Yeah, for now. I mean, the saying goes, whoever gets the best player always wins the trade, no matter what the rest of the pieces are. So right now, it's them.
Is that the saying?
Yeah, have you not heard it?
No. I got traded one time for a fifth rounder. Does that mean whoever got me won the trade because there was a player to be named later?
Do you know what that pick turned out to be?
No, I don't. We should go and figure that out. If you're around a computer at some point, I got traded for a fifth rounder in 2014, maybe. I went to the Rangers. The Rangers gave the Hawks a fifth rounder. That'd be interesting to see what that fifth round pick turned out to be.
So that'd be the 2015 draft, right?
It might be. Yeah. No. It might even be earlier, like 2012. I don't even know. Yeah, it was an early trade. I'd have to go and look it up. Tim, if you have time during this podcast, search for that. All right. We got some big news came out of Russia. Alex Ovechkin tied Jaromir Jagr in all-time goals. Very big deal. Did you see this? It was an empty netter. Everyone's saying Ovi's having a great season. How many goals does he have now? 39. 39?
Yeah, he's up there. Let me pull it up real quick.
39 is a lot of goals.
36.
36 goals. 8 of them or 9 of them have been empty netters.
Including this one.
Including this one, which he has tied Jaromir Jagr. Why is no one talking about this? It seems like this season, there's been records that have been broken, records that have been tied. Zdeno Chara gets the most games played for a defenseman. Alex Ovechkin ties Jaromir Jagr. There's not that much fanfare for this. It was kind of just washed over. Why is this? Is this because of all the junk that's going on in Russia and Ukraine? People don't want to glorify Ovechkin? Or is it just because people are tired of celebrating all these records? It seems like every season someone's getting 1,000 games, 15 games. There's silver sticks being tossed around. What's going on here? Why is no one talking about this? He is inching closer to Wayne Gretzky's record. Why is no one talking about this, Tim?
It's just not that big of a story because we knew this was going to happen. Like, you could almost put it in the calendar. Okay, he's going to pass this goal. Really, the big one is Gretzky. You know what I mean? Until that happens, we kind of knew these other ones were going to come as soon as this season. So it just wasn't a surprise, I guess, is the point.
So he sits third right now, and he's behind Gordy. You'll probably catch Gordy next year. Gordy's at 801. Gordy Howe, for those of you who don't know. Alex Ovechkin's at 766. Wayne Gretzky's sitting at 894. Now, we talked about this last year. Everybody has their opinions. Is there still a legitimate chance Alexander Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky? He's had a great season this year. He is showing no signs of slowing down. He is still, at this point, 128 goals behind Wayne Gretzky. That's a lot of seasons he has to play in order to pass him. You thought he was going to pass him the last time we had this debate, like a year ago. Do you still hold firm to that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, he'll pass him.
You honestly believe he'll pass him? That's like truly no ifs, ands, buts about it.
Stick. No, he'll pass him. No.
So he needs 128 goals. How many seasons is it going to take him to get that many goals?
Three
seasons. He needs to average 43 goals a season. You think he's going to get 43 goals a season?
Maybe he does
the next three seasons.
In the fourth season. But yeah. Plus, he's still got the rest of this year, too.
He does have the rest of this year. So let's just say at the end of this season, he ends up with 775. I'll give him 9 more goals. I think that's a good conservative push to the end of the season because playoff goals don't count. Playoff goals don't count to this. If playoff goals counted in your overall points, Gretzky would just be bonkers, absolute bonkers ahead of everybody else. I don't think he does it. I really don't. This is not me dumping on Ovechkin consistently just because I like dumping on him, because I don't like dumping on him. I actually like Alexander Ovechkin. We had a friendly relationship when I played. I love battling with him. We had a lot of good times together. I don't think it's feasible. I think we've seen him taking a step back this year. Yes, he had the hot start. If you take out that first month of the season, his next 3 months have been fairly ordinary. Take out the 20-some goals he got right out of the first 20 games. After that, he's just not a normal NHL player, but a normal goal scorer. He's not like a superstar like Austin Matthews. So I think he'll come close. I think he'll pass Gordie Howe. I think the only thing that might get him there is he's very prideful. He wants to beat the record. He really, really does. I could see this guy playing until he's 44, you know, 43, 44, just trying to get 10 goals a season, playing on the fourth line. If that's the case, good for him. Taints it a little bit in my eyes, but who knows? Maybe ruins his whole aura, his reputation. But hey, I don't. If you have to ask me right now, Tim, no, I don't think he does.
I have a quick update here. I did a little bit of research, and I know who they picked with that draft pick. Want to open this up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were traded for a player named Travis Brown, 6'2 defenseman, born 1994 from Winnipeg. Left-hand shot. He was drafted in 2012, fifth round, 28th round pick by Chicago. So this is
okay.
He has never played in the NHL.
Yes. Okay.
He was playing with Moose Jaw when he got picked up and drafted. He played in Victoria, St. John's. He's played 8 AHL games. Looks like he spent most of his time in either the Coast League, and now he's playing over in Europe somewhere. Esberg Energy. That looks like probably the German league. So,
yeah. Big win by the Rangers. Big win by the Rangers there. They got a solid 8 games out of me. Oh, my goodness. A huge win for the Rangers. I cost the Rangers, no word of a lie, tens of thousands of dollars, I want to say, just based on going on the road and eating food and drinking bottles of wine. We talked about Matt Zuccarello a couple episodes ago. Me and Zooks, because we had a long playoff run there. We went to the Eastern Conference Finals, lost in game 6 in overtime to the New Jersey Devils. We would go on the road. We would have dinner. We a couple bottles of wine, a couple of this, a couple of that. It was a good time. It was a good time.
And the team would pay for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All on the team's tab.
In the playoffs? So that's what they do?
They would do every night. You would have a team dinner because they would make sure you want to be, fed, hydrated, everything that. So we would go out to a nice restaurant wherever we were, not in New Jersey. You see in the hotel. Well, we'd stay in New York and then we drive to New Jersey because no one wanted to eat in New Jersey. No one trusted it. So we would eat, in the meatpacking district. We'd eat. We'd have our restaurants in New York, and they were high-end restaurants in New York. Like, it wasn't like a Denny's or a Olive Garden. These were like creme de la creme. If you go there, you're dropping $250 per person. Like, this is the type of places we were eating. It was incredible, Tim. Absolutely incredible. So what we would do is the team meal would be there. I would be there. It'd be me, Matt Zuccarello, Jeff Wojwodka, and Stu Bickel. We were like the four guys who were just extras, black aces. If somebody got hurt, we would fill in. They would leave. We wouldn't have anything going on. I didn't have my family there. So I'd hang out. We'd have a glass of wine, 2 glasses of wine, 3 glasses of wine. Next thing you know, the tab would come. You're like, then you charge it to the team. And every night we would do that. And it was just great. And like, we weren't drinking, Walmart wine. We were drinking some pretty high-end stuff. We were the New York Rangers, baby. We were going to win the Stanley Cup that year. So we were drinking good stuff. The waiter would come over and be like, what kind of wine do you want? And we're like, what's the most expensive bottle you have? And they'd tell us, so it's like $1,000. We'd be like, well, 3 levels below that. Let's keep it around the $200 mark. And we'd have 3 or 4 bottles and every night. And so we cost the team, I would say, a good 50 grand during that playoff run. They must have saw the tab and be like, these players really like having wine before the game. But lo and behold, it was just 4 guys after everybody left. Just, it was really funny. We did. Yeah. Maybe we overdid it a little bit, but I knew I wasn't going to be back. I didn't like the team. I didn't like the coach. So I knew I wasn't going back there at all.
Does someone just have like I don't know, this dorky question, but like a corporate credit card, they just swipe as a captain, have a check, or someone with you guys, or is there an account open with the restaurant? Like, how do you handle that?
They have a PR guy or a team guy who comes and pays for everything, and they give the restaurant the card beforehand, and I'm guessing they just take care of it because the coaches will go to the dinner. Sometimes the staff will go, because when you're in the playoffs, there's a lot going on. It's a blast. Like, it's super fun. You're always around each other. Everyone's pulling on the rope at the same, the same time. And everybody wants everybody to do good. So everybody's in a great mood, and we were winning. We won 2 game 7s that playoff. We won in Ottawa and we won in Washington. It was incredible. It was absolutely electric. It was so fun to be in those environments. Even just being around it. Like, I wasn't playing it, but I was in the pregame skates. I did a lot of warmups just because that's what I did. I patrolled the red line. It was so fun. And it was just fun to be on. After a game 7 win in overtime, when you beat the Washington Capitals, your arch nemesis, it was just so fun. Like, I can't explain how great it was. It was like, I did play in the playoffs with Chicago, and that was a lot of fun too. But there was something about winning game 7 versus Ottawa, and just like, it was just great. And when they had Alfredson and Neil and all these guys, like, they had great teams, and it was just really fun battling Craig Anderson. It was just really neat. But yeah, it was fun.
Was Lundqvist hanging out with you guys, or was he like all focused during those stretches?
No, he was hanging out. Like, he was a really normal goaltender. It was really neat hanging out with him. He would always invite us over. Not always, but sometimes you'd get the invite over to his penthouse and hang out on the balcony, and he would play guitar and, have nice scotch or whatever. Like, his penthouse was absolutely breathtaking, like, just insane. So he was one of the very few normal goaltenders who was chill, man. Like, He would shoot the breeze with you. He was really fun. The goaltenders they had on the Rangers were the two most normal, personable, nicest goaltenders I've ever been around in my whole life. Marty Biron and Henrik Lundqvist. They were fantastic. And we would hang around with Marty Biron quite a bit too, because he was a backup. And he would skate with us after practice. He would always be on with the Black Aces. And he was just, I know Marty. Everybody knows Marty. He's the nicest guy ever. So I don't know how we got on this topic. But yes, Ovechkin ties Jágr. I don't think he gets Wayne. I think he gets close within like 40. I don't think he gets within like really close sniffing distance of 10. But that, it's going to be exciting to watch. Really is. All right. Speaking of another goal scorer, Austin Matthews has just been on a hot streak. Remember he started the season really slow. Everyone was worried, you know, how's his wrist? You know, is it going to affect him long term? What's going on with Austin Matthews? Is he a little gun shy to shoot the puck? He doesn't want to re-injure his wrist. He had surgery on it in the offseason. All those worries are gone. This guy has been just scoring at will. I watched that game versus Columbus when he just lit up the Blue Jackets. He is so powerful, so dynamic, so incredibly quick with the puck. His hands are out of this world. I forget how good he is. You don't watch him for a couple weeks, and then you catch a Toronto game. It's like, man, this guy is incredible. He really is. What do you think of him? Is he the best goal scorer in hockey right now? Or is Ovechkin better than him? Is Kucherov better than him? Is there a guy who's even in the same category? Is McDavid better than him? Or is he in a category all his own?
When it comes to goal scoring, he's on his own right now. He's got 6 in his last 3 games. He had a hat trick on Monday against Seattle. We got 10 in his last 9 games. I mean, this guy, or which 8 games. So yeah, he's the creme de la creme when it comes to the goal scoring. And he's widening the gap too among the league leaders. He wasn't even in the top 3 for a while, and now he's running away with it. He's got 43. The next guy's got 38. Dreisaitl, Kreider, those guys aren't catching him. It's him. He could hit 60 this year. It's in the cards. So
yeah, I believe so. And the fact that he gets to play with a Mitch Marner who is so incredibly good. I said it once before this season. I'll say it again. If I'm picking an MVP for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's not Austin Matthews. It's Mitch Marner. He has upped his game at every aspect of the game this year. His defensive game has vastly improved. His compete level's up. His offensive game has always been good, has gotten better. He is so incredibly good this season. I like myself some Mitch Marner. Michael Bunting has slid right in there. Everybody thought they were going to fall off when they traded what's-his-face to Edmonton. They let him go in free agency. What's his name?
Hyman.
Hardworking Hyman. Everyone was nervous. Who are we going to put beside Matthews and Marner? Oh, let's go get Nick Ritchie. He's going to fit in nicely. He's a big body. That didn't work. Michael Bunting. Why is no one talking about this guy for Rookie of the Year?
They should be.
Not as much as Seider, not as much as Raymond, not as much as these other guys. Michael Bunting, given the pressure of playing with arguably 2 of the top 5 players in the NHL, fitting in with them, not ruining their first line mojo, and actually taking this line to a different level. He's been playing incredible as a rookie coming into Toronto, doing this on the biggest stage. These guys have Stanley Cup aspirations. It's impressive what he's doing. You know, it's one thing to be Mo Sider. I love Mo Sider, friend of the show. There's no pressure in Detroit right now. They're not expected to win. They're not expected to do anything. We'll talk about them coming up pretty quickly. Michael Bunting, they're expected to win every single night. That line is expected to get 1 or 2 goals every single night. And if he's off, the whole line is going to be off. Like he's a big part of that line. He goes in, he blows up the defense. He gets them to puck. He's the one who's going to be the first guy back checking. Like he's a big part of that line. So good for Michael Bunting, but Austin Matthews. Oof. Unbelievable.
He now leads all rookies in goals and points. So he's right at the top of the conversation there. And that happened pretty quickly. Like felt like all of a sudden in the course of 2 weeks, he just became the front runner. I still think it's Sider, but he's leading that conversation right now. And the other thing too, I saw this report and take it for what it's worth, but some anonymous scouts said that if Bunting wasn't playing with Matthews and Marner, he'd be in the AHL right now. He's just not that good. He's just like fitting right into the right situation and getting good chances, good line mates, and he's capitalizing. Good for him, but he's not an NHL player full time.
No kidding. Why doesn't, if you're going to say that, put your name on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A random scout. Like, beat it. This guy's a good hockey player. He works his tail off. I don't believe that whatsoever. It's no, I think that's bogus. It really is. I like Michael Bunting. I like Austin Matthews. If these two, Matthews and Marner, now hear me out. If they can, you know, keep going with this compete level, I like myself some Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. I really do. They've been playing really good, Tim. I like it.
Come on.
I like it. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid. I really might. You know who I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on? Speaking of Mo Sider, what is happening with the Detroit? You know, no one thought the Detroit Red Wings were going to be the Anaheim Ducks of 2006 when you had these all these shutdown defensemen and they just lead their team to the Stanley Cup. They are so incredibly bad at defense, the Detroit Red Wings. They are giving up goals like it's going out of style. The last 10 or so games they've given, okay, last game versus, mind you, this is a high-powered Arizona offense. And everybody knows when you think of the Arizona Coyotes, you think of goals. Goals, baby, goals, goals, goals. They give up 9 to the Arizona Coyotes. And they give up 6 to the Florida Panthers, rightfully so. Florida's a juggernaut. Tampa Bay, you give up 3. Carolina, you give up 4. Toronto, you give up 7. Or 10, excuse me. 10.
10.
10. That's double digits. It's 10. Detroit got 7. They give up 10. Colorado, you give up 5. The Rangers, you have a good game, you give up 3. You give up 7 to Minnesota. You give up 4 to Philadelphia. You give up 6 to Philadelphia. Like these, you give up 7 to Toronto a week before that. You give up 5 to LA. You give up 8 to Chicago. These are big numbers, Tim. I don't know what the record is for most goals given up by a team in a season, but Florida or the Wings have to be right there. Like I'm just going through, they've given up multiple times. They've given up 7, 8, 7, 6. What? How do you give up that many goals? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. It's just a talking point. Are they the worst defensive team in NHL history? Like everyone's talking about the potential of the Detroit Red Wings. What is going on? Are we overselling Mo Sider's defensive ability, or is this just a product of they're just getting outmatched all over the ice? What is happening in Detroit?
It's outmatched. They're just not that great of a team yet. They're getting there, and they got some flashes of really good stuff. They got a good young core, but they're just not that good yet, and that's okay. But they have – we talked about this already. They've got the cap room. They've got the right GM at the helm. Like, they're going to make some big moves in the offseason, the next couple of years. They'll be there for sure. And the goalies – I mean, we like Nedeljkovic, but he's not having a great season. Thomas Greiss behind him also not playing that great. So I think it's just one of those things where, you know, you're not going to win a ton of games. Maybe you're not getting the best performance out of everyone involved. I don't think it's a spurn on Mo Sider in any way. I think it's a whole team, but that's how it works.
The most goals against in NHL history, 446. The Washington Capitals, 1974-75. They play 80 games.
They won 8.
And they won 8. They lost 67. Can you tell me how many the Detroit Red Wings have given up right now? They've so, given up.
Oh, you got it?
No, you go. You go for me.
They've got 212 so far, so it's not even close.
Not even close. The Washington Capitals averaged giving up almost 6 goals a game that season, 5.575. That's a tough mark to break. So the next closest is 415. So there is a major, you know, gap between the first and second there. That's a lot of goals, the Capitals. Oh my gosh, that's brutal. All right, what else are we talking about today, Tim?
Quick little story about Phil Kessel had a baby, and it's cool because he had that Iron Man streak going and he didn't want to ruin it. So he played one shift in the game. I think it was in Arizona. No, it was an away game. And then the team like helped him organize all that. They have a charter plane waiting for him the runway. He played one shift to keep that streak going. Then flew back across the country to be with his wife for the birth of his baby, which I thought was pretty cool. It's a pretty baller move, I think.
You know how I'm going to feel about this. Stuff like that irks me. It's like you didn't play in the game. It's not okay. I don't know. I don't like that. Just like when they gave Michael Strahan the sack record. They let him, you know, he sacked. I think it was Brett Favre. It's like you didn't get that record, Strahan. They gave you that record. You didn't earn that sack. They gave you that sack. So I don't know. The person who holds the record now, did he get just a one shift game? Because, you know, he had to go and do something.
It's one game out of like, it's not like he broke the record that night with one shift and they're giving it.
But what if he does? What if he does? And the guy who holds the record right now, that's what he really, really holds his hat to.
Yandel's got it, right?
Yandel has. You think Yandel's taking a game where you just take one, steps his foot on the ice and goes, I got to go. My wife's pregnant. if you're going to miss a game, miss a game. Don't work the system. I don't even, especially on the road. It doesn't bother me too much, but there should be an asterisk if Kessel does get this because he didn't play in that game.
Yeah, but what if you get hurt in the first shift and you never come back?
You had the intention of playing the whole game. He had the full intention of touching his foot on the ice and leaving right away and going to the airport. It would have been great if he would have got hurt, missed the birth of his child. I think that would have been a nice thing. That's what you get. I don't like that. But I've been holding off on this news. Danielle's pregnant again, too.
Oh, finally. Let's talk about
it. Yeah, Tim's known for a long time. We told him weeks and weeks and weeks ago, months ago. But the Scots are expecting number 7, kind of middle of the show. I don't even think it's a bomb. You just assume my wife's going to be pregnant. But yeah, she's expecting number 7, so am I. So we're very excited. The baby's due in the summer. Nice. We don't know the sex, so don't even ask. Could be girl number 7 or boy number 1. We're very excited, very blessed. So
another summer baby, very exciting. Good for you.
Another summer baby, so you know, whatever. All right, let's keep moving on here. I don't want to spend too much time on that. You want to talk about the Oilers? You want to talk about JT Miller?
Just a quick thing. The Oilers apparently attempted to look into Semyon Varlamov of the Islanders. We talked about him as a possible trade target. And reportedly by Elliot Friedman, the Varlamov will refuse any trade to Edmonton, does not want to be part of that, which is pretty funny. And it's a little surprising because it's like, at least you go there, you're going to be their guy probably. And that's a good team that could make a playoff. And if they are, they could be dangerous. Maybe not, but the Islanders aren't doing anything. So it's like, it's a little, the fact that he could be on a playoff team and doesn't want to because it's the Oilers is pretty funny.
It's very funny. It says a lot about the Edmonton Oilers. And we saw it this offseason with Adam Larson when he just said, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to go to Seattle, an expansion team that we don't know anything about and they have no forwards whatsoever. I'm going to go there. So usually where there's a little bit of smoke, there's a fire. Nobody wants to play at Edmonton. Nobody does. It's just, it is what it is. They spent all their money on McDavid and Draisaitl. The whole team, other than those two, is an absolute train wreck. I guess Evander Kane's been playing well, but no one wants to go there. It's not even a secret anymore. It's out there wide open. No one wants to play in Edmonton. This is an indication of that. This is a goaltender who was on a bad team with the Islanders, has an opportunity. Maybe he thinks he's going to get traded somewhere else. There's not a lot of teams who need goaltenders right now. When you look at the contenders, there's very few that can go out and either A, afford a goaltender like Varlamov, or B, want a goaltender like Varlamov. So I think it's funny. I think it's just fantastic. The Edmonton Oilers, they're a joke. They're an absolute joke right now at this point. They bring on Kane. They're bad. They're bad. You know what else is bad? I'm hungry. You know what I'm going to do about it? DoorDash. Ding dong. They're going to come right to my office. They're going to bring me lunch. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to get 25% off. It's going to be great, Tim. And my listeners, you can get it too because we have an exclusive offer with DoorDash. I don't think anybody else has this offer. Order now with DoorDash. Use promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the USA, GlovesDD if you're in Canada. You get 25% off. You get free delivery on your first order. It's a great deal. DoorDash, you can order anything. If you want lunch, get lunch. If you want groceries, they'll bring you groceries. If you want gas, give them a jerry can. They'll go get you gas. They'll give you anything you want. They go to all these different stores now. It's remarkable how they've built their brand. They're a good company. They're helping us out. Help them out. Use DoorDash. Promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the USA, GlovesDD if you're in Canada. It's simple. You can use it on your phone, your computer, your app, your tablet, everything. They're everywhere. You guys know DoorDash. I love DoorDash. Tim loves them. He uses them like every day. The guy's addicted to DoorDash. And it's great because they're a great company. You know what I'm addicted to? I love myself some JT Miller, friend of the show. Great interview. Very honest, very earnest. Didn't hold anything back. He is not holding anything back on the ice right now, Tim. The guy is on absolute fire. He had 4 points last night. What they needed a win versus Montreal. They've been ascending the standings there in the Pacific Division. They are just inches away from being the playoffs after the disastrous start where everyone wrote them off. Thank goodness the Pacific Division is just an absolute mess. Anything can happen. I think they're 3 points out now. They got 20 games left. They got lots of time. Everyone's saying they were out of it. I gave them a chance, Tim. I did it. No one believed in me. And they've been led by JT Miller. I said he was an MVP candidate earlier this season, if you recall. I did. He's clawed his way back into that conversation. He's on pace now for 96 points. He's got 8 goals, 15 assists in his last 12 games. There's 24 games remaining for the Vancouver Canucks. He's on pace for almost 100 points. This is JT Miller. This is a guy who makes $5 million. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and everyone's talking about him on the trade market. Why would you trade a guy like this if you're the Vancouver Canucks? He is the best thing the Canucks have had since any of the Sedin twins. Oh, Pettersson, oh, Besser, oh, Horvat, oh, this, oh, that. Everyone has been garbage since the Sedins left compared to JT Miller. He is the closest thing to Daniel and Hendrick that the Canucks have had in a long time. And if they trade this guy, they're crazy. Absolutely crazy. Do you think the Canucks will make the playoffs, Tim? Tell me right now.
I hope so. And I agree. Like, you want this guy for the chance that you do make the playoffs. They're fighting for it now. They're only a couple points out of it. So it's not that hard to believe. They're 8-2 in the last 10. Like you said, they won 3 in a row. And JT Miller was a huge part of that. Because it's not just putting up points, but, like, it's the penalty kill. It's the blocking shots. It's the physicality. It's the leadership. He's not just like a one-trick pony. So I think he's one of the most valuable players in the entire league. And, yeah, I don't think they should trade him. I think they should try to get him an extension. And the latest reports actually have him less and less likely to be moved. You read some of the TSN, the Frank Saravelli stuff. He's not even on their board for a lot of them. So I think he does stay in Vancouver.
Well, he's still under contract for another year. That's the benefit of having a trade. If you did trade a JT Miller, you better get a boatload back because you have this guy locked up for another year. And if you can get a player like him, you can bank him for 75 points. And like you said, he has all the intangibles where he's blocking shots. He's doing everything you want a good player to do. He's not like Austin Matthews scores goals. He's not going to be, you know, mistaken for a good defensive forward. Yes, he's improved his game, but he's not going to be on the penalty kill.
It's just not true.
Why?
He's a very good defensive forward.
Oh, so he's on the penalty kill, like I said.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Maybe let me finish my thought before you jump in.
Okay.
I said he's not going to be mistaken for a very good defensive forward. He has improved in that aspect of his game. He's not on the penalty kill. He's not going to be the guy at the end of the game when you're throwing out there when you got 1 minute left and you're up by two and you want to hold the lead. That's just not Austin Matthews' forte. Maybe he will grow into that. That's JT Miller. So if you have a guy like that, he's making 5.25. He's locked up for another season. He's only 28 years old. He is your assistant captain. Why on earth would you give this guy away? Like you said earlier, whoever wins the trade usually gets the best player. JT Miller is one of the top 10 players in the NHL right now, the way he's playing. You will have an argument about that if you want to prove me wrong. That's fine. But he's, with his contract, with his intangibles, his just attitude altogether, I like JT Miller. If I'm the Vancouver Canucks, I'm building my team around him. Regretfully, you got to build around Pettersson. Yeah, I don't want to, but I have to. I like Bo Horvat. I'm taking those three guys. And I'm running with it, man. You got your Hughes. Quinn's got the Quinn Hughes poster. Tim's got the poster of Quinn Hughes on his wall. He knows Quinn Hughes. So for what it's worth, I don't think they trade JT Miller. I think Frank Saravelli is onto something. Even JT Miller at the end of the game last night, they asked him in his post-game interview. He said, they haven't told anything to me about being traded. I think it's just all media fodder. I don't see anything happening there. I'm happy in Vancouver. We're on a run here. Why would I want to wreck that? But keep your eye on JT Miller. Keep your eye on the Vancouver Canucks. If they get into the playoffs, I don't want to play this team. I really don't. They have a good defense. If they're all healthy and they're humming along, you got Larson, Myers, Hughes, Shen, Hominick's back, or Hammock, whatever you say it. He's a good third line pairing defenseman. They're a good team. They would scare me if I'm playing them in the first round, if I'm one of these top 1-2 teams and I play a wild card team in the Vancouver Canucks. So good on Vancouver, man. They're making it exciting.
Yes. I want to talk about Cale Makar for a minute.
Of course. Oh, my goodness. Of course. It's been so long.
So, yeah. And I know he's good. I didn't realize how historic the start has been. He's having the best offensive start to a career by a defenseman in NHL history. He's got 159 career points, which is the most ever for a defenseman with 155 games played. That's better than Bobby Orr. That's better than Coffey, Bork, Lidstrom, anyone. Name it. He's better. And he's currently this season at an 82-game pace, pace for 32 goals, 67 assists, 99 points. 32 goals as a defenseman. When's the last time that even happened? I don't think Erik Karlsson or Burns, those guys ever touched 30, did they?
No, Burnsy, I bet you, has maybe tipped 30 a little bit. It's very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare. But, yeah, keep going. Wax poetically about your Cale Makar, Tim. I know you got more.
Man, well, it's just like he's just doing something. Like we talked about, you know, a few months ago, you said he could go down as one of the best defensemen in NHL history, and you got some flack for it. It's usually when you make statements like that, it's like everyone from Colorado is just like, yes, you're totally right. Everyone outside of Colorado is like, no, this guy's a moron, not even close. And that's just the way the hockey Twitter goes. But I think he could definitely do that. and he's rounding out his game. He's still like, he's still, I wouldn't say an elite defenseman, but he's not hurting you out there either. He's a good, good player, well-rounded game.
17 times in NHL history, a defenseman have scored 30 goals. 17 times. That's it.
Wow.
Five of them have been Bobby Orr. Another couple have been Paul Coffey. Not many. Not many other guys. Dennis Potvin, Phil Housley, Ray Bourque hit it once in his career. So for him to do this, and what's this, his third season?
Something like that. Yeah.
So it's insane what Cale Makar is doing right now. He's hit the jackpot being on this Colorado Avalanche team with these just studs up front. He's got a good coach. He's got a great GM who just loves that type of game. And he will go down as the best defenseman of all time on the offensive end. He's incredible. He is a left winger, a scoring left winger that they wrapped up and threw on the back end. And he's so incredibly good. Why would he not go out and break the record? The most points in a season by a defenseman, 138 by Paul Coffey. I don't think he touches that in this era of hockey. It's just harder to score these days. But boy, if he can get to 100 points, there hasn't been many times a defenseman have hit 100 points. That's even more rare. That's 12 times. So that's absolutely incredible. And the last time that's happened was 91-92 by Brian Leetch. He had 102. And that's even an era when there was more goals than these days. Goaltenders are better. Defensive systems are better. There's just less goals being scored. So if he could get 100 points this year, he's your MVP. I don't care what any other forward does. I don't care what goaltender is having a career year. Cale Makar getting 100 points, that happens once every 10 years. He's your MVP. It has to be. He has to be your MVP.
The MVP conversation is between Matthews and Shesterkin only at this point. And we should break into that. We spent a whole episode on that. But, yeah, I don't think he's in that conversation. But, again, this is a full game pace, a full 82-game pace. He missed a couple of games with an injury, so he won't get there. But
well, it just goes down to what do you value more? And we've talked about it before. People value goals. It's a sexy thing. It's just – everybody loves looking at a goal score. They love, yeah, top shelf, this and that. If you're a hockey person and you value actual MVP and what it means and how transitional and generational as Cale Makar is, I don't know how you cannot respect the fact that if he gets to 100 points, you've got to give him the MVP. I don't care what Matthews does. Guys score 60 goals all the time now. It's not that uncommon for a guy to get 60 goals. I think every third or fourth year, a guy will get to 60. No one has gotten 100 points as a defenseman in 20 years. 20 years. And there's been some great defensemen who have come through in 20 years. So he has to be in the conversation right now, and he has to be awarded the MVP if he gets to 100 points. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And plus, he's playing on a Colorado Avalanche team that's the best team in the NHL right now. So it's not like he's just doing this on an also-ran team and just racking up just garbage points when they lose 10-5 and he gets 4 points. He is a huge cog of this Avalanche team that potentially could win the Stanley Cup. So it'll be a big topic of conversation. We need to break into that because I am a big Cale Makar fan. I'm not a fanboy like some people are. I just respect the game. He's a transitional type player. He will change the way people look at that position, even just like Bobby Orr. You know, Bobby Orr did it. Cale Makar is taking it to a different level. When you see him on the ice, he's just all over the place. He controls the play. When he has the puck on his stick, it's just absolutely incredible to watch. All right, Tim, a couple more. What do we got?
Yeah, before we wrap, we had another milestone last night. Nicklas Backstrom had his 1,000th career point, which is really cool. I like the guy. I like the player. A little question for you. He's the epitome of a pass-first playmaking center. He's 1,000 points. How many of those are assists?
750. Three quarters of them.
Pretty close. 737. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds about right. If he gets 4 points, three of them are assists. He's riding shotgun with the best goal scorer in NHL history. So Ovechkin, it's like you give that guy a puck anywhere within his triangle, he's going to rip a shot and there's a good chance it's going in. So that's a benefit of playing with Ovechkin. You look at the Oilers in the 80s, it's like, okay, Esatikin was good. Maybe he wasn't that good. You know what I mean? Messier was really good. Maybe he wasn't that good. And you can just go to Yari Curry was good. Maybe he wasn't that good if you don't have Wayne Gretzky riding shotgun with all these guys and could just put points. Paul Coffey, he's a great player. Does he get 138 points if Gretzky's not on that team? I don't think so. Good players make other players better, and they're getting these guys points. And the same thing with Backstrom. He's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player. But when you dish a guy a pass and you know there's a good chance it's going in, you get more points. It's just, you know, a simple math to him.
It's funny too. Like, he never shoots the puck. He has 200 more than 200 shots twice in his career, and the last one was 2011.
Why would you shoot him?
Moving, he's logging like so many minutes a night, and he just does not shoot the puck. Doesn't have to.
Why would you? If you're going to the offensive zone and you have a shot, or I can give it to the absolute best goal scorer of all time, I want that guy getting 15 shots a game. Like, it's, I know when I played with good players, like I did play with good players, surprisingly. Who would I want to shoot the puck? Me or slide it over to Bernsey? I'm like, I'm going to give it to Bernsey. When I'm doing a breakout, I'm like, am I going to make a better pass? I'm going to give it to Brian Campbell. You know, there's a better chance of me getting a third assist than me getting a first assist by trying to make a pass. Like, I'm not a good passer compared to Duncan Keith. So I'm like, here you go. Hopefully I get a second assist. So Backstrom's doing the same thing. Give it to Ovechkin, baby. Let him score.
All right. Let's wrap up with some points, Bet. There's a lot of big games tonight, and I want to make
there it. Is.
Let's wrap this up into a little parlay. Let's get a little cocky with it.
Let's do them all, Tim.
Okay. Not all of them.
Let's pull a Chris Godwin.
Okay. The first one I want to do is Colorado versus Carolina. Huge game. Two juggernaut teams. It's in Carolina. What do you got?
Colorado versus Carolina in Carolina. I'm taking Colorado.
Okay. They're even matched. Both minus 110. The next big game, New York Rangers against St. Louis Blues in St. Louis. Who do you like?
I like the Rangers. Shishkin, Panarin. You like the Blues? You gave me a funny look there.
Which is two away teams in a row.
Home ice doesn't mean anything anymore.
Okay. The last juggernaut matchup tonight is three big games. Tampa Bay in Calgary. Who do you like?
I like Calgary. Okay. I really like Calgary. I like myself some Oilers or some Flames. So good for them. And then who do you got? Golden Knights Sabres, the homecoming of Jack Eichel.
Sabres.
No way. I think Jack's going to be geared up. I think Jack's going to get a couple points. Golden Knights are going to walk away. The Knights are going to be fired up for Jack Eichel. They're going to want to give him a win in his homecoming in Buffalo. There's no way they lose this game.
Alex Tuck and Tage Thompson will have 2 points each. And
oh, my. Tim, love it.
Buffalo.
Well, I love that, and I love the fact that you guys are listening. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. Hope you guys have a good weekend. We might throw down an episode tomorrow. We'll see how I feel. Tim's a busy guy. He's got a full social calendar, so we'll try to get one of the books. But if not, have a good weekend. If we do talk to you tomorrow, great. Either way, cheers, everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.